is responsible for IT-based outsourcing account operations, providing greater attention to some of Dell's most valued customers, and focusing on delivering outstanding IT services to them. Most recently, Tim served as executive director of Dell's healthcare group, responsible for business development. Using his broad healthcare expertise, Tim successfully created relationships with major healthcare organizations. Previously, Tim served as the executive director of Perot Systems, their healthcare provider and supply chain customers. Please welcome Tim Quigley to Cloud Computing East.
Thank you all for coming. Appreciate you taking the time. I'll try and keep this a little lively, knowing that it's after lunch. It's pretty bright in here, so hopefully nobody will nod off. Wanted to talk a little bit today about how Dell sees the cloud within healthcare, how it's changing delivery models, both from an IT delivery to our healthcare customers, but also the way care is being delivered by those customers to patients, both in the U.S. and across the globe. We often get asked, okay, why Dell in healthcare? So spare me, or I apologize, but I'm going to give a little, what we either refer to as the marketing moment or the Rodney Dangerfield moment, because we don't feel we get any respect. Dell is the largest provider of services to the healthcare industry, not only according to us, but according to Gartner. We work with over 350 hospitals on a daily basis, providing IT services to them in a managed service perspective. We have about 1,000 customers who we're doing some level of project work with, and at Dell, we like to claim that pretty much every hospital in America has some Dell equipment somewhere. We are a leader in the cloud space within healthcare. We have 9 petabytes, roughly, of data under management in our clouds, basically across 3 large segments, the first being our clinical cloud archive. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, because we think that's changing the way care is being delivered. But we have over 7 billion images in that archive. Second is a series of EMR clouds, including Meditech, where we have over 100 community hospitals running their EHR in our cloud. And we also have about 25,000 physicians running EMRs out of our cloud also. So I'll move on from the advertisement and talk a little bit about where we see cloud going generally at Dell. There's been a lot of change over the last couple of years as cloud has come on the environment, and people have tried to figure out what this is going to mean, both for the IT industry, but also as individual consumers of IT. We originally heard a lot of, okay, one size fits all, everything's going into a single cloud, it's all going to be on Amazon, and that'll be great. And what we're seeing is the future is more complex than that. We believe that our customers are all migrating to a world where they're running off of multiple clouds, a combination of very broad public clouds, many of them with local on-prem clouds that they run themselves, and also sort of task-specific, industry-specific clouds down here with vertical expertise. And that's really where we see the future going. And the challenge is going to be for customers, how do you manage this robust ecosystem of multiple clouds, multiple vendors, in a way that delivers a unified experience to your customer and also gets the most out of those vertical offerings within your space. And within Dell, we play sort of across this spectrum, right? If you want to build out your personal cloud on-prem, we can help you with that. We have some tools that help you with the unified experience. And in terms of our healthcare offering, we spend a lot of time working with our customers on utilizing Dell cloud technology to solve problems within healthcare. The first one that we took on, as I mentioned earlier, was the Dell Clinical Cloud Archive. What we see happening within healthcare today is the biggest challenge our IT providers are having is growth within their environment as everything moves to digital. We're seeing 40% growth year on year in terms of storage. And the key to that is as items become more and more digitized, as we talk to our customers, there are many who are hoping, okay, I'm done with these days of my storage growing like this. And we usually have bad news for them. We actually think that the next 10 years, you will continue to see the level of growth that you've seen in the past 10, which is sort of staggering once you get to sort of the law of large numbers. You would think that eventually you would start seeing a plateau of the growth. But there are two very large components that we see on the horizon. The first one being genomics data, which absolutely pales in comparison to everything we do now in terms of the amount of data generated as you get your genome translated, and that needs to be stored. Second area, digital pathology. Just to put it in context, digital pathology file size is probably 10 to 12 times larger than digital radiography. And we're just starting to see the acceptance of digital pathology. There's some challenges in terms of regulatory acceptance, which is really the major inhibitor until the FDA allows that for primary reads. That's going to be a gating factor on that. But we're working with customers today doing very interesting things in terms of global delivery of healthcare, where they're having digital pathology images taken in the Middle East, APJ, sent up to our cloud, and then read by pathologists here in the United States. So you don't have the regulatory issues within the U.S., and we see that really as a model across the spectrum, right? We're radiology, we're used to that with it going the other way, right? Nighttime coverage of radiology images being read in Australia, India. We believe that when you look at those specialists like pathologists where the U.S. has a shortage of them, the rest of the world is a shocking shortage of them. This is a way that we can provide care across the globe at the standard that we here in the U.S. enjoy. So as we see where healthcare is going, we view this as cloud enablement sort of running underneath all of this. Moving into the digital, as I just mentioned, the health information being exchanged gave a global example, but we also are working on much more local ones. Working with HIEs as an example, the state of Maine is tying together all of their hospitals, utilizing our cloud archive as a background to enable images to cross from hospital to hospital within the state. So as especially in Maine, as in a lot of the U.S., you have the challenge of rural healthcare and how that integrates into urban healthcare. Well, now as patients are seen in the rural hospitals within Maine, as the patient needs to be transferred to Portland to get more complex care, the images for that patient get there ahead of the patient itself. Think about that compared to where we were 10 years ago when the patient would show up, they had to be rescanned, they had to have another MRI, another CT. Now that happens just once. The patients, as they get there, the physician has already seen the scan, already understands what's happening with the patient. It's a cost savings and an addition to an improvement in care. The cost savings is critical because the accountable care movement is taking hold within the U.S. and really putting pressure on all of the providers across the market. I had the good fortune of being at David Brailer's event 2 weeks ago, a collection of healthcare payer providers and biopharma executives. And the overarching theme was the cost pressures within the U.S. and how to drive those down. But underlying all of that was how do we make sure we have good data as we're moving into these risk-based offerings. Here we work with a company called ICA Systems that builds claims engines primarily focused for providers, enabling them to stand up risk-based organizations quickly, hopefully less costly, and in a shorter period of time to enable them to hopefully successfully manage those risk contracts that they are now taking on. As one healthcare executive said, our real problem is the contracting is getting ahead of the care delivery, and that we're seeing these contracts that we don't understand how to manage throughout our health system, and it really puts some of those health systems at risk for significant losses. Next to last, is the mobility revolution within healthcare of a particular challenge when you start talking about the reams of data. We work with various different companies on mobile enablement of their applications, and the challenges of that and how to utilize the cloud to provision those offerings. Lastly, the wrapper around all of our cloud offerings, as we find the largest inhibitor to cloud adoption within the healthcare space is really security. Rational or not, we could probably have a 30-minute discussion in the room just on that. As with most things, it's neither black or white. There is definitely some truth to the concerns that people have. We've had some cloud providers close their doors in the last couple of months just to make people even more nervous about that. You know, we at Dell think that's a good thing. We think that'll drive sort of a flight to quality and a flight to permanency, which is as a $60 billion company we think we provide. But more importantly, we take our ownership of healthcare data very seriously. And so we do two things. One is we sign up for all of the regulatory compliance that our customers need to follow. Our clouds are all HIPAA compliant. The ones that we have in the health in the Fed space are FISMA and NIST compliant. And we wrap around that our security from a company we have called SecureWorks that does advanced threat. They are the leader in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for security. And we don't have any clouds that aren't fully monitored and inspected by SecureWorks. So as I said, why did we start looking at cloud? And particularly at clinical imaging, this is the projection over the next 5 years from ESG in terms of where the data is for healthcare and where it's going. The remarkable thing about this is clinical imaging, which is the leader in terms of overall data, has the second highest growth rate behind EHRs. And so as we started looking at talking to customers who were dealing with 40% growth of data, and also data that has a long life cycle but a low use. The example, we were talking about this at lunch, the example I gave was my son broke his arm 2 weeks ago. He had to have his x-ray done at Sibley Hospital up the road from here. That x-ray, which was seen by the ER physician who looked at it, the radiology tech looked at it that day, and the orthopedist looked at it the following day. So it got looked at three times. They put the cast on. He's fine. But Sibley will probably have to hold on to that piece of data until my son is the age of consent, 18 plus 7. That's I don't know if that's specific to health, specific to district. Those rules are often state by state, but that's a general rule of thumb, is healthcare data for everybody in this room, 7 years, sometimes 10. For pediatrics, it's age of consent plus plus 7. So you think about that, my son's 6, they're going to have to store that data for 19 years. So as we looked at that, what we came up with is the Dell Clinical Cloud Archive, where we sell from everywhere from mom and pop imaging centers up to large multi-site billions of dollar plus health systems. The data comes in from their PAC system directly into our archive. We store it for the life, the regulatory life of that data as set by the customer, right? So they tell us, no, this needs to be kept for 10 years, needs to be kept for 7 years, and we get paid on ingestion. We think this is the real cost benefit of the cloud being brought to our customers, of you don't have to shell out X millions of dollars when you need to do a storage upgrade once every 3 years, 4 years. It's as you get paid for doing that scan, you pay us, and then, you know, that's it. We maintain the data for the life of that data, and if you do 500 scans this week, great. If you do 10,000 scans this week, great. It all just comes in, and we think that's really, in terms of the first step of the benefit of the cloud, that level of savings within capital, moving from CapEx to OpEx, and also tying it much more closely to the cost of IT to the revenue of the business. The next real phase of that is what we talked about with the sharing of data and utilizing this and others as a transport mechanism and a data sharing mechanism. And that's, we have conversations about the cloud with CFOs, and it's pretty single-threaded. How much money can you save? How much money can you save? How much money can you save? And we definitely try and get across the part that if all you're looking at is cloud for cost savings, you're sort of missing the boat. We think that there are fantastic opportunities in terms of the provision of care. And the next example I'm going to take you through is work we're doing with the Translational Genomics Center out of Phoenix. We really are incredibly proud of this story. It really combines cloud, big data, and HPC, high-performance compute, to directly impact the lives of children. TGen is focused on working with pediatric neuroblastoma patients, a particularly virulent form of childhood cancer. Brain cancer usually has survival rates in the low single digits. Challenge is it moves so quickly, and it's such a rare form of cancer that usually by the time a child gets to one of the 20 or 30 children's hospitals that can identify it and knows how to treat it, you're too far along that you get one attempt at treatment if you're at Children's Hospital X. And there are multiple treatment paths. So what TGen is working on is how do you do the genomics marking of the tumor, matching that up with the genomics of the child, and matching those two together in a way that you can now pick and say, of these 7 potential treatment options, this is actually the best one. And so what we've done for them is built out a private cloud where that data comes in literally from all over the country, because in a busy year, most children's hospitals will get 1 or 2 cases of this. Like Children's Boston will see 1 or 2 cases. So it comes into TGen. They do the crunching of the data. They then move the results up into our cloud, which is shared with all of the children's hospitals participating in their clinical trial. And they basically create a virtual tumor board with the patient's data TGen, the hospital where the patient is, and then anyone else in the consortium who wants to participate, come up with the treatment protocol. And what we've been able to do through that is, through this model, increasing the computational power by about 1,200%. Most importantly, we've taken the time it takes to analyze that data, 7-8 days, down to less than basically an afternoon, which when you're talking about a rapidly moving cancer is just absolutely critical. And also when you think about it, if your child is having this test done, do you want to wait 7 days to get an answer, or do you want to wait for 4 or 5 hours? And so far, it's still early, but what we're seeing is dramatic increases in survival rates of these children, which, you know, to us is really the reason why we're in healthcare, why we love this space. And when we talk about what we see in the future of the cloud, this is really it. So I've gone a little bit over. I'm sorry, but I will hand it over to Drew next.
Thank you very much.